This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Are you unhappy, bloated, finding it hard to concentrate? Well, if you read the American Psychiatric Association's DSM, you will find your symptoms listed under premenstrual dysphoric disorder, or PMDD. In other words, because of these symptoms, a doctor or therapist could label you as having a mental disorder. Please join me, Lillian Kerr, on Thursday, November 20th, for an open journal in which I will be talking with Paula Kaplan, a clinical and research psychologist, about this new and dangerous move to pathologize a woman's premenstrual discomfort. This, in spite of lack of evidence and a possible big payoff for Big Pharma. Once again, tune in at 12 noon on Thursday, November 20th.
The Pacifica Radio Archives is launching its campus campaign. We're taking our history out of the vault and into the classroom. You donate, and we send a copy of one of our historic compilations to a school or college of your choice.
It's exciting to look back because it gives you ideas for the future.
From the vault to the classroom, the Pacifica Radio Archives campus campaign launching on Tuesday, November 18th.
For details on this special day of fundraising for the Pacifica Radio Archives from 8 a.m. to midnight, as well as complete schedule and guests, visit kpft.org. Again, that special day of fundraising for the Pacifica Radio Archives is Tuesday, November 18th from 8 a.m. to midnight, right here on commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT, Houston, kpft.org, online.
Sick of the propaganda that they hate you. Ignorant and hateful because they don't understand us. Ban us from living our lives. Living our lives. Second class citizen, give them this right. Give them this right. Bash me, mash me, I bash you back. You're messing with the wrong fact, you're about to get checked. A new generation, we're taking our rights. Taking the gay population to new heights. Watch out now, girly boys can fight. Sports and medicine, our rhymes too tight. You can try to diss, but you know the consequences. Payback, I'm the Michael Jordan of the gay rap. Take that, chop my style. Top or bottom, I'm versatile. Two men holding hands, walking down the block. Don't be jealous, cause we're so damn hot.
Come on, let me hear it loud. Young, gay, and proud. Stand up for your rights, everybody get down. Let me hear it loud. Standing for our rights and we march to the sound. Let me hear it loud, young, gay and proud. Standing for your rights, everybody get down. Let me hear it loud, young, gay and proud. Standing for our rights and we march to the sound.
A brand new generation taking over. Freedom fighters, some call us soldiers. Unity between you and I. Sick of being a punchline and crucified. Try to tear us down but still we rise. I'm sick of the games, I'm sick of the lies. From the gay ghettos to the Malibu mansions, they can't keep us down cause we keep on dancing. Even got the queens stretched from disco. Got them all dancing from Greenwich to Frisco. Latinos play Papi Chulo Loco. Number one homo or logo, let's go.
Let me hear it loud, young, gay and proud. Stand up for your rights, everybody get down. Let me hear it loud, young, gay and proud. Stand up for our rights and we march to the sound. Let me hear it loud, young, gay and proud. Stand up for your rights, everybody get down. Let me hear it loud, young, gay and proud. Stand up for our rights and we march to the sound.
A new generation, we taking our rights. Taking the gay population to new heights. From the gay ghetto to the Malibu mansion. They can't keep us down cause we keep on dancing. Sick of the games, sick of the lies. Sick of being a punchline and crucified. Bash me, mash me, I'll bash you back. You messing with the wrong fag, you about to get jacked. A new generation, we taking our rights. Taking the gay population to new heights. From the gay ghetto to the Malibu mansion. They can't keep us down cause we keep on dancing. Sick of the games, sick of the lies. Sick of being a punchline and crucified. Bash me, mash me, I'll bash you back. You messing with the wrong fag, you about to get jacked.
Let me hear it loud, young, gay and proud. Stand up for your rights, everybody get down. Let me hear it loud, young, gay and proud. Stand
stand up for our rights and we march to the sound. Let me hear it loud, young, gay and proud. Stand up for your rights, everybody get down. Let me hear it loud, young, gay and proud. Stand up for our rights and we march to the sound. Let me hear it loud, young, gay and proud. Young, gay and proud. Young, gay and proud. We'll be right back.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music dear to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the November 15th?
16th.
15th. Or Saturday.
Saturday.
Don't give a damn what they say.
Okay.
Edition of After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, listener sponsored. You know the rest of the story. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. Woo, honey, you make a strong cup of coffee.
I don't measure anything. You just push the button and it comes out.
Really? Wow.
I think it's because it's Colombian this time.
Colombian.
Last time I made you the Guatemalan.
So you know. Guatemala is Colombian light?
Well, you know what? It comes out of Colombia, so there may be... Let's just say that may be... Cafe Coco.
Yeah. and tasty, too.
And his tongue tingles.
I haven't had my tongue tingle in a long time, I'll tell you. Speaking of which, or no, actually, it's not segue to nowhere. How was your week? Any tongue tingling for you this week?
No, I had to go cold turkey from technology.
I heard about that.
I had no internet access.
Ooh.
And no cable television.
Oh, my God.
Since technically Wednesday morning at 12:30 a.m.
What the hell do you do with yourself?
Well, there was a lot of the videos I downloaded, but I'm a little sore. I played a lot of solitaire on the computer.
Oh.
And, yeah, watch DVDs. It was...
Wow. What happened?
Well, we had a really bad electrical storm came through.
Oh.
And either the lightning hit my building or it hit the gas station behind me.
Oh, I think you would have known if it hit the gas station.
But it... it was... No, I was sitting at my computer. The TV was on. I was at my computer.
Uh-huh.
And the lightning and the thunder were simultaneous.
Oh, that's like right in your backyard.
When I looked at the window,
mm-hmm.
and it looked like someone was outside taking a flash photo. Because there was this ball of white in the middle of my window, and then the rest of it was lit up as well.
Ooh.
So that lightning strike was really near.
Mm.
And it fried the, basically the router that comes into my house that does my cable and internet.
Okay.
Fried my cable boxes.
Ouch.
And the Ethernet connection on my computer.
Damn.
Which is actually good. You know, for $30, I was back up and running.
Oh.
So I had to just buy a new part for my computer.
Oh.
And they exchanged all the other parts out.
You're kidding.
No.
Damn, that happened to me. I'd buy a whole new computer.
My neighbor lost 2 TVs and 2 computers.
Oh. What's the difference?
Probably she doesn't have them on surge protectors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So everything I had was, because, I mean, like I said, she probably wasn't on her computer at all. I was physically on the computer and on the internet at the time.
Wow.
And my TV was running, and so it was, you know, my boss didn't realize I was out completely with that and asked me on Friday, he goes, have you written a manifesto yet? So it was a fun thing of having to, you know, deal with them to try and come out. And I couldn't get them to come out.
It's like going back to the 20th century.
Yes, yeah, so I didn't even pull out rabbit ears.
Wow.
but now, since I had to be there, I had to wait till this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, 3 days without it. And it's like, oh, my God.
Hey. Wow.
But, yeah, they got me up and running quickly.
Okay. Well,
and you?
Me? You know, I've been talking about GCAM working at the GLBT Cultural Center.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have an office there now, Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History. And the Montrose Counseling Center, who owns the building, invited GCAM to decorate all the hallways with artwork. And, you know, okay, that sounds like, okay, we go out to the warehouse, pull a bunch of pictures and posters and things and slap them up on the wall. But 300 man hours later.
Oh, so Judy didn't help at all?
Oh, yes. Are you kidding? It was such a project. I could not believe it. So we spent this week putting the finishing touches on it because we wanted to. It was a big deal that the Montrose Counseling Center was having their anniversary dinner and fundraiser on Thursday. So we had to have it all together by then. And we even had have booklets explaining the artwork.
Like a real museum.
Like a real museum, yes.
Next thing you know, you'll be having to get those little tape recorder machines.
We thought about it. Anyway, so it's up there on the first floor of the GLPT Cultural Center. We've got, I think, over 100 pieces of art up from past, present, original art posters, candidacy posters, Louis posters, you name it. We've got it up there, including the famous Lady Victoria Lust case.
Do you have a private room where you're displaying the pictures from Louis?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that will come later when we have our own space and we will have an erotica room. Yes. And I will have to take some of those pictures out. Anyway.
Are you planning for the old school 25 cents a minute or just the $5 all you can watch for till you last?
Yeah, that would work. That would work. Anyway. So we've been working on that and getting that off the ground.
Maybe you can get the one bookstore to donate a glory hole wall for you.
Stop it. I've thought about that, though. You know, one of these bookstores gets, famous bookstores gets torn down, that we should, well, of course, it's hard to find glory holes these days, but, you know, remnants of them, I'm sure, exist.
Mm.
And, you know, if anything ever happens to Mary's, we get the bars, you know, because they've got all the
countertops.
Yeah, countertops. They've got all the photos there. So why not an original glory hole from, you know, Talk of the Town or whatever? I don't know. It is a piece of history.
You should see our guest right now.
Yes, I imagine he's...
You know, I'll tell you, I thought it would be very difficult to get him to blush and have to cover his face.
But...
Because I've seen him at Louis.
ouch. Ouch. We've got a few things here that we want to talk about before we bring our guest on. Yes. I went out and saw a wonderful play last night at Theater Suburbia at their brand new theater, which is located at 4106 Way Out West Drive. You take 43rd Street until it dead ends, and then you turn around and go back a block.
It sounds like directions you get for a place called Way Out West.
See?
When you get the old Hinckley Farm...
There you go. That ain't there no more.
That ain't there no more. You turn left. At the third cow pasture, turn right.
Something like that.
And if you hit the railroad tracks, you've gone too far.
I know. Anyway, it was a very, very good play. A Nice Family Gathering is it the name of the play. It's a Thanksgiving-type play. It's got a little something for everyone and... Funny, funny, funny.
That's the ghost one, right?
Yes. Yes.
Hey! There's proof I was paying attention.
Mm-hmm. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The acting was way above standard, and good directing, good everything.
You seem to be enjoying independent theater more lately.
I don't know why. I don't know why. But
they're pumping that nitrous oxide into the crowd again.
Maybe that's
they?
It. Okay. But, and you know, if you go out there, or if you want to go see this play, A Nice Family Gathering, and you give them a call and reserve tickets, if you say that you heard about it on After Hours, you get two tickets for the price of one. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay. And that number,
if you promise to take Judy, you get an extra ticket for free.
Ah, and that number would
I don't mean to the theater to take her, just take
stop.
Her.
713-682-3525, Theater Suburbia.
Or on the website, Theatra Suburbia.
Yeah, Theatra Suburbia.
.com or org?
Oh, I don't know.
Just
probably,
sure
it's org, it's a 501c3. Yes.
That doesn't mean anything.
Oh, really?
The meat rack was org.
Oh.
And I think they were for profit, but the org may have been for orgasm.
Well, I don't know. It's .com.
.com.
You were correct. Okay.
Theatra, remember, spelled R-E.
Yeah. And then...
She's going to love the fact that I intertwined Theatra Suburbia and the meat rack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She'll be thrilled.
Well, you know, it's kind of a G-Cam thing. You know, they're not around anymore, so...
yeah.
I'm waiting for that red flashing light.
Yep.
Or the yellow flashing light. One of them will go hit me soon.
I went to an event today that really did my old heart good. The rally downtown against Proposition 8 in California.
No, on H8.
Right. I didn't know what to expect because, you know, we haven't really had political rallies in Houston, gay political rallies in Houston for a very long time.
Yeah.
And, Houston is not a city that demonstrates in that way. We just don't do it. It's hard to get people. But, wow, what a crowd. And one of the better things that I noticed when Judy and I were walking up to it, we looked around and I said, I don't know anybody here. 20 years ago, I'd go to a political rally and know everyone.
Yeah.
And that's good. That I didn't, because that means that there are new, fresh faces coming forward to pick up the torch for gay rights.
Well, probably the closest, carry them. Yeah, I mean, probably the closest we've had was the celebration of 2106.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But that was
Texas.
A celebration.
That was a celebration.
This was not a protest or a rally or a, you know, let's do something about it type thing.
That's part of a national movement to... I saw on MSNBC, they showed a little bit of the rally from Philadelphia on the about the part of the nationwide efforts on this. And I'm not sure how real it was, but there was another, there was a group that is fighting to put a petition on the next ballot in California to outlaw divorce.
Oh my God.
And
laugh it up. I when I was born, it was very difficult to get a divorce in this country.
But I think I still have, I sent the video to it. But it's, I think it's a comedy group is doing it, but it's, it could be a serious movement.
Mm-hmm.
And if I find it, I'll play it later. Basically, it says...
That's one way to preserve marriage.
Yeah. And what it does is they pull the information of what they're saying from the Prop 8 campaign people.
Oh, no kidding.
Of what, they use their own words against them and said, all we did is we took out the word gay and changed it with divorce.
Wow.
And said... So if you're in support of gay, you know, denying gay marriage, you need to support denying divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very interesting thing. And you know, some people were commenting, you know, we're not gonna, we shouldn't do that because it's, you know, we're not going to go tit for tat with them. But you know, it's something to make them at least think.
My friends who live in California are highly embarrassed over the whole Prop 8 thing.
I mean, when even Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Yeah. Who would have thunk it?
Who says, you know, according to being on the ballot, it'll be Bach. Oh, God.
Anyway, there's probably a couple of thousand people.
At the thing here in Houston?
Yes.
Damn.
Yes. And picket signs and posters and you name it. It was a big, big deal.
I really wanted to go to it, and then unfortunately with waiting stuff for... getting stuff repaired at my house, I wasn't able to.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that was just one of those things that if a chance to see something of history here in Houston,
yeah,
of standing up for ourselves.
Well, let me talk about a couple other things going on, and then let's get to our guest. How's that?
Well, we've got.
Although, I mean, we loosely call him a guest. I mean, he's here so often. He's a semi regular.
And you called him loosely. Once again, go to LouisWeekend.com.
Stop.
You want to
anyway.
You want to defend yourself?
No, I don't.
Things going on later on today. The Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History is having their third annual Opening Eartha's Closet show, along with the induction of our new ambassador to GCAM. And... You get three for
but wait,
one.
Wait, there's more.
Yes. We're unveiling of the new GCAM logo. We had the logo contest, and we have a winner, and you're going to find out what it is and who did it tomorrow. That would be EJ's on the patio. Sunday, November the 16th at 3 p.m. And that's raising $1 at a time in order that we make keep our GLBT history safe and intact. GCAM is a 501c3 charity. All performers are welcome. Please contact Judy at curator@gcam.org.
Or Jimmy's couch at Jimmy.
That's right. Actually, as we speak, she's putting together the lineup for tomorrow's show. It's probably going to be pretty fast since... well, I think the drag queens will like it because, you know, who wants to wear a wig in 95-degree weather? But when it's 65 degrees, yeah, it's great.
I was about to say, what are you talking about, 95 degrees?
Yeah, well, it's not going to be 95.
It got a degree colder in here since we started.
I know. Anyway, and there's so many other things going on. Later on that this evening is the Fall Harvest Festival. During the month of November, we will be collecting food and toiletries benefiting Resurrection MCC Food Pantry. Donations may be dropped off every... Well, you bring them to later on this evening. at the BRB, show starts at 7 p.m. sharp. Oh, yeah, right. food and monetary donations accepted. The Harvest King and Queen will be named. Wow. And there's going to be a silent auction from 6 to 8:30. Boy, I love those silent auctions. This is being sponsored by the PWA Holiday Charities, Cult 45s, and Southern Country Houston. That's, well, get there at 6 and check out the silent auction items over at the BRB tonight. Cool. Then, if you can't do that, maybe you'd want to stop over at RMCC and check out the award-winning Christian artist Ray Boltz, who's going to be in concert at 6 p.m. later this evening. It's Ray's first appearance in Houston since the announcement of his coming out. His number one hits on the inspirational charts include Thank You and Watch the Lamb. His brand new song in partnership with MCC's Would Jesus Discriminate campaign is Who Would Jesus Love?
Falcon is enjoying the line about the lamb.
Yeah. Ooh, watch the lamb. Mm-hmm.
So was that lamb or lambskin?
Well, I do. Or, at EJ's at 8 o'clock later on this evening. See, if you go to the GCAM show and you just don't get enough, have a few drinks and stay for Huey, Dewey, and this must be the Louie show put on by J.P. Gill, who is candidate for Emperor of Ereses. He did a like 3-show spread this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So Sunday, November the 16th, 8 p.m. at EJ's. And it's a benefit for Legacy Community Health Services and assist her through Coronation 25. Okay, let's see.
And that was for the Ereses, the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Inc., Houston, Galveston, USA, North America, Western Hemisphere, Planet Earth, Milky Way. Did I go out far enough or not?
We've got a couple other things coming on. They're in December, but I do want to mention this one that's happening next Sunday, the 23rd. It's a drag sale. Yes, Bill Patterson and Rod Mest have generously donated all of their drag to sell and raise money for charity. They'll be one day only at the BRB, the Brazos River Bottom, located at 2400 Brazos, starting 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. next Sunday, the 23rd. There will be clothing with a range of sizes, bags, shoes, jewelry, and wigs, just about everything you need. Boys, here's a good chance to get some stuff for turnabout shows. I will also be accepting more donations of any kind. So, if you would like to bring something, please feel free. David will be there to do something with your drinks. My printer didn't come out very well on that. I don't know what that meant. Okay. All monies raised will go to Ereses Rain 24 beneficiaries. How come the other one was 25? I don't know. Okay.
You got Rain 24 beneficiaries in Coronation 25.
Oh, same thing. Okay. Legacy Community Health Services and assist hers. When this event is done, please stay for the show hosted by the Ereses candidates for Emperor and Empress 25. Candidate number one, J.P. Gill. Candidate number two, Marsha Mink Ann Gill. And candidate number three, Falcon, starting at 8 p.m. And this all came from Sir Matt Gill, Grand Duke 24, Ereses, Imperial Commander, to Her Majesty Kimberly O'Neill. Ah, I always like to promote drag sales. But, you know, when I mentioned earlier that GCAM is having the third opening of Earth is Closet, I didn't really explain what Earth is Closet was. Earthquake, formidable drag queen, passed away a few years ago. 2 years? 3 years? And,
well, if it's the third anniversary of opening Earth is Closet.
Yeah, I guess that would be. We have a closet of drag that's available for loan out of GCAM. And since we have the new office over at the Cultural Center, this is where we are going to house the entire collection. It makes it a lot easier to...
And it's a plus-sized hall.
Oh, yeah. We've got everything from a size 4 to a size 5X. My favorite, the Ain't No Mountain High Enough cocktail dress, is a size 5X. So, and it's available for loan for either, you know, drag queens or boys who just do drag once a year for turnabout or Halloween or whatever. It's free. All that we ask is that you have it cleaned before you return it. That's it. And we have you from wigs to shoes. Everything in between.
Ew. There's some naughty bits in there that I don't want to really borrow.
Okay, well, you buy your own hose. Okay, girl. Yeah, that's how that goes. Now, we got to get to our guest.
Well, he's got nothing better to do. And Scott called and said, keep him as long as you want.
No! Ouch! Ouch!
Scott's at the bar.
Do you want me to go in there? Do you want to go in there?
Someone's got to know, push the buttons in here.
I can push buttons.
No, you go sit next to him.
Okay.
Chris knows better.
I sit around him enough times.
He hates to give up power.
Not according to his website.
No, I'm just so used to sitting here all the time, you know.
With me, Jimmy? I have Falcon. Hello, Falcon.
How you doing?
I'm just great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
I guess you are.
Can you tell I doodled over my page?
Well,
I didn't diddle, I doodled.
This is a really special thing that you're doing. We've been mentioning it the last few weeks.
Great.
But I'm so glad that you're here to talk about it, because it has a much better impact coming from someone...
Who's producing it?
Yeah, you know. You know, someone whose voice they don't hear every week.
Yeah.
Maybe just, you know, every month, but not every week. So,
well, this is a huge project that I've kind of taken on. What happened was last year, here, I got to move this. Mm-hmm. Last year, I'm a part of the World AIDS Day Houston committee, and we try to let people know as much information about what activities are going on December 1st mm-hmm. as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the projects we did last year was the Illuminations Project. It was started by Jane Wiener through Hope Stone.
Yeah.
And she's been doing this for the last 6 years. And unfortunately, this year she had other commitments and could not do it. So
what is the Illuminations Project?
Illuminations is when Jane was doing it, it was basically she brought in all these wonderful entertainers from New York and mm-hmm. all over North America, basically. And they would come in and do a dance showcase. And this time what we're doing is we are, this got thrown into my lap basically in June. I don't know too many dancers in New York, so I mean, I know dancers in New York, but what they do is completely different from what...
Oh, yeah. It's a different kind of dance.
It's a different kind of dance.
Yeah.
So I basically brought this home. I brought this into the Houston community, mm-hmm. and what I did is I went to people like Hope Stone, who is the original people who made this, but also the Houston Ballet, Houston Metropolitan Dance Company, Sean Welling's Planet Funk, Urban Souls. Let me read here. I got the Houston Flyboys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they are so good.
They are great. I got Resurrection MCC, Marsha Mink and the Gill Family, the Lone Star Lariats, Cheyenne and Sarah Scholander, and of course, the wonderful Debris Sisters. And so, obviously, if you know any of these performers, you know this is going anywhere from classy to watch out.
Oh, yeah.
And
classy to scary.
It's classy to scary. I don't want to say scary because, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, when we talk about scary, we'll probably talk about the Debris Sisters, of course. The Debris Sisters is a wonderful comedy troupe here in Houston, and It's kind of funny because Blanche DeBrie, first thing he says to me was, how far can I go? And I said, there will be children. And he goes, okay, I know how far I can go now. Okay.
So no giant inflatable penises. No.
No.
Okay.
God, I don't know. I hope not.
Save that for Swedish hockey game.
Gotcha. Yeah, thank you. Ooh. Yeah, yeah. But no, this is going to be a very tasteful show. And what this show is about is bringing awareness about World AIDS Day.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have an award ceremony. And normally we did this prior to the show, but this time we're going to put it smack in the middle of it. And because my concern was that nobody knew who these award recipients were for the last 6 years, Illuminations Project is one of the only organizations that is giving an award to individuals and business and organizations that have no connections to any other group.
Really?
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
You know, we're not affiliated with the courts, or we're not affiliated with a, you know, a particular service provider or anything.
Okay.
So this is solely one woman's dream and her giving back to the community and me picking it up this year so her dream doesn't die.
Mm-hmm.
So this show is going on December 6th at the Hobby Center of Performing Arts. It's going to be at the Zilka Hall. So it's not...
That's a nice little theater.
It's a nice little theater. It's not your... running up on stage and doing a performance type thing. It's not a drag show at all.
No, this is a real bona fide.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got some wonderful performers here. And the tickets are really cheap. Tickets are $35 for the orchestra level,
okay.
$25 for the mezzanine.
Okay.
You can get your tickets through www.thehobbycenter.org or by calling 713-315-2525. And if you need more information, you can go to, you can email me at illuminationsproject@yahoo.com.
Okay, what day of the week is this?
This is going to be Saturday.
Saturday night.
Saturday night at the Hobby Center. So the Hobby Center is...
You know, that's a very nice way to just open up the holiday season.
It is. Now, I got to tell you, this show is going to be both highs and lows.
Mm-hmm.
Before... Keep in mind that before it was all dance, and it was a lot of modern dance, and very powerful performances, and it left you thinking, walking out. And it ended, the show ends with the illuminations part, where we put candles on the stage, and we invite the patrons, the audience, to come up and light a candle in remembrance.
Oh.
And... You know,
I never knew that part of it.
Yeah, that's the whole point of this.
Okay.
Illuminations. And so we invite the people to come up and light on stage. And what we're doing this year, like I said, last year the show was very dramatic, very heavy. I loved it. But this year we decided to put some highs and lows into it. So we didn't want it to be so much a heavy thing. What I did is I went to these performers and I said, look, what does World AIDS Day mean to you? You know, some people look at it as a day of awareness or education or prevention, and some people look at it as a day of sorrow, of remembrance.
Yes.
So I went to these performers and I said, I want you to interpret this, and I want you to tell me what World AIDS Day means to you. So some people are doing things very funny, upbeat, fun.
Yes.
And some people are taking this very seriously and doing a very serious number. So I hopefully, if I get everybody...
It sounds like a great mix, though, for a wonderful variety show.
Yes, it is.
Where you have some really highbrow entertainment.
Yes.
And some more pedestrian type stuff.
Right. And, you know, I'm old school. I believe in leaving a show on a very high note.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the illuminations part and what the message we're trying to get across at the very end, it does leave on a more somber note.
Yeah.
But I wanted to make sure I had some fun parts in it. Some of the fun parts in it is of course, the DeBrie sisters.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the first part of the show.
Okay.
The Houston Flyboys, watch out, guys, because these guys... Confetti cannons, you name it. they're right before the intermission so they can clean up.
Yeah, because they're spectacular.
They're spectacular. Mm-hmm. I told them, I said, you know what? I don't care what you do, but you got to clean up your own mess. Yeah.
And for people who think they know who the Houston Flyboys are, if you've ever been to Bunnies on the Bayou,
right.
These are the guys who do the entertaining, you know, right
with the
there
flags.
With the flags in the by the fountains, you know, all that.
It's eye candy.
The guys
candy.
With the great bodies.
It's eye candy. It's all
oh,
eye candy.
Yes.
The director of the Hobby Center, Fran, he goes, you are going to have some good looking. I'm like, yeah, I'm happy sure. you know, he's not stupid. He knows what sells.
Yeah.
But coming back from intermission, we're going to have Sean Willing's Planet Funk.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a piece that is going to have, I mean, he's talking about lasers and everything else for this piece.
Wow.
So this is not your everyday run-of-the-mill. I've only got really three drag numbers out of 13.
Yeah.
So all the rest of this is very professional dancing routines. I got everything from the ballet to modern to contemporary urban dance and country line dancing. You name it, it's there. I wanted to make sure.
I like that variety. Yeah.
I want to make sure there's something there for everybody, mm-hmm. that people got their money's worth.
Yeah.
And another thing I'm going to do, and please, people, wait till at least Tuesday when I can, or wait till I can get this announced again. Go to the website, which is MySpace/Illuminations Project. Look it up on there. I'm going to work with the Hobby Center to see about doing sponsorships. And what I'm looking for here is kind of like what we do with the PWA campout.
Mm-hmm.
We get people to donate money so people with AIDS who don't normally get to do these type of events can go to it.
Yeah.
So if you want to donate money for this, I'm going to sell the tickets for those donation seats at $25. And I'll even throw these people onto the main level. But I want to do it at $25 per person. Mm-hmm. And this way, if you can't go, sponsor somebody who cannot normally do this.
Good idea.
You know,
good idea.
I want to make sure that the Houston Ballet and the Metropolitan Dance Company and all these wonderful people who are donating their time has an audience to perform to.
Yeah.
I can fill this theater quite easily, but I want to make sure that I also get a nice mix of people mm-hmm. who cannot normally go there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can do that, please email me your donation to illuminationsproject@yahoo.com.
Okay.
And just let me know, and I'll get you a hold of the Hobby Center, get you the information on how you can make that donation.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. It came from my idea of working with PWA Holiday mm-hmm. Charities and their camp out every year, and what we've done through the pile of debris
yes.
shows.
Yes.
The idea of sponsoring campers. I would like to do the same thing with this. Sponsor people to come here. You know, working with the Colt 45s, I know that there's a lot of families affected by AIDS.
Yes.
And they don't get to go out and do anything like this. You know, you got single mothers with children. You got, you know, partners who are both, you know, dealing with the disease and all the money's going through medications and barely making ends meet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is something that they can do, and it's just through a nice little $25 donation sponsorship. So if your listeners, hey, everybody, please dig deep and give some donations here.
Mm.
But once again, it's at the Hobby Center, Zilka Hall. It's December 6th at 7:30 p.m. Orchestra level is $35, regular price, and mezzanine is $25, and you can get your tickets through www.thehobbycenter.org or by calling them during regular business hours at 713-315-2525. This is a direct benefit, and the money is going to go for AIDS Foundation Houston, the Montrose Counseling Center, and through Aresis, it'll be helping Legacy Community Health Services and Assisters.
Mm, good.
So all this is also co-sponsored by Aresis,
mm-hmm.
so your donation can be a tax write-off.
That's right. Because Aresis is a 501c3 organization.
You got it.
That's right. And you just mentioned the pile of debris, and mm-hmm. I don't know if we remember a large picture that I brought to the camp out, actually, of the pile.
In the pink?
In the pink with the
throw took away? That picture.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I did not know that.
Yes, I took that
and
picture.
And it got blown up?
I don't know about the blow up, but I took the picture.
Yes,
I gave it to Blanche.
It's like three by three.
When I was the historian for ICOH, I still have a lot of the pictures. So that was one of the pictures I had.
Okay, well, someone blew it up.
Really?
To like 3x3 size. 3 foot by 3 foot.
Right.
It's hanging on the first floor of the GLBT Cultural Center.
Really?
Right now. Yes. Yeah, so
that
the photograph
is, cool.
is up there.
I got to sign it.
Yeah. Yes, you do, as a matter of fact.
Wow. Yeah, I took that. That was during, I did a show back in the day called Attack of the Mary Kay Commandos. And we all wore pink. Remember my pink combat boots?
Yes.
That was part of that show.
Oh.
And I did a line of characters, a family per se. You know, you got the Dupree sisters. Mm-hmm. I did the aunties. So I was anti-pasta, and
yes.
I know gingivitis is anti-gravity, and Sarah Scholander is antihistamine. Earthquake was antebellum.
No.
My partner Scott was antibiotic. So we had all these. Marsha Mink was anti-Semitic because she's Jewish. So we had this great aunties going on at the same time. And so, yeah, we did a show called The Attack of the American Commandos.
Oh,
that's why she's
I
all
love
in pink.
That. Yes, yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, that was my show.
Oh, I can't believe that. I had no idea you took that photo.
I took that photo, yes. I still have it. So, yep. So that's great. I got to go in there and sign it now.
Yes, you
I'm
do.
I'm an artiste.
Yes, you are. Falcon, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
It's always fun having you. And I know that Chris has probably got a piece of music.
Is it dedicated to me?
No.
Is it I did your boyfriend or?
No.
I just did your somebody?
It was the rap song I tried to download to go with the opening theme.
Okay.
Because we started the show with new music from the home.
Yeah, we didn't even mention
Sisters.
It.
Sisters.
No.
Actually,
that
before that.
Captain
oh, before
Captain Magic.
Yeah, Captain Magic.
M-A-G-I-K.
Yeah, it's a homo hop.
I need it for my show next year.
No, because, you know, it's
called Young, Gay, and Proud is the cut we did.
So, you may be two-thirds of the way there, but...
Oh!
I'm gay and proud, okay?
And because I couldn't download the other song quick enough, we threw on Scissor Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
But Captain Magic, if you like the opening song, you can find him on the MySpace, of course, at CaptainMagic.com. Whatever, myspace.com/CaptainMagic.
Mm-hmm.
Not too bad looking.
Oh, he'll do.
Let's see. Yes. I see the skull on the back.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, he's cute.
Yeah.
Look on the front cover.
Oh, front cover, yeah.
Yeah, so are his two partners there.
You always got to have two partners.
Nice torsos.
Those masks would work for Louie.
Works for you, huh?
Ooh, make a poster next year.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
So what have we got?
Big Nug?
All right.
That's why I had to download it, because if I pulled the CD out, then I would have to try and figure out, you know, where to cut out the Joe Scarborough words.
Gotcha.
So, he said...
Don't we have a PG version?
Yes, I do. That's why I had to download it. Play it off of the computer. So, let's see. That button's pushed. That button needs to be pushed.
I think he shut me.
And hit the play button. Big Nug with La Revolution.
Revolution, La Revolution, Revolution, Big Revolution.
Come on.
Revolution, La Revolution, Revolution, Big Revolution.
I got one chance here to have a clean slate, and I don't give a if you are gay or straight. Music of the people, that's what I'm told. Been driven by the music since 5 years old. This hand I'm dealt in the no limit hold'em. On the day of my birth, though I knew I was the chosen one to educate these misdirected minds, brainwashed by the church and the law at the same time. I grew up a Midwest Catholic boy. By age 18, I was done with that noise and all the pollution they were feeding my head. I knew when I was a kid I already liked men, but I went through that and had to bite my lip. Wanna hear the boy say, yo, he looks like a fed.
faggot. Man, you gotta tell me what's a faggot supposed to look like or sound like. You want me sucking when I'm on the mic?
Revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution.
We came to take the power from the people who have it. Big nuggets in the house, weigh it up and then bag it. Give it to the kids at your local college. We came to spread the love and we came to bring knowledge. To anyone that don't believe what we do is real, or what we do is wrong, cause we're proud that we're queer. I got something to say and I'm not holding back. Making the foundation for gay hip-hop on the map. You better listen up to the things that we're doing. We're doing big things cause we're steady moving units. I'm vibing off my fans while I'm writing lyrics to this. The new breed of hip-hop we make for the people. We're only one love and for us to be equal. This is the first chapter, yo, wait for the sequel. I have a big mouth, you know I'm gonna use it. Whoever thought a faggot with a mic would be a nuisance.
Revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution.
You wanna talk about rights? Well, it's really confusing. The same people making laws are the ones who abuse us. The positions they're in for the money and the wealth, while the gay rights agenda just sits on the shelf. Like it don't mean, and you wonder why we're pissed. And every time we rise up, you wish that we were lynched. This is the revolution that's been building for years, collecting due interest on our blood, sweat, and tears. You ain't gonna stop this cause it's way too late. Too many people out there who still feel ashamed that they are gay, so they hide it and deny it, hating themselves for the simple fact they tried it. But in this revolution, there's no giving up. We only want peace and we only want love. You better get used to this cause we ain't going nowhere. Man, I get off when all you homophobes stop and stare.
Revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution.
Yo. Miseducated, miseducated, but this is dedicated to the whole LGBT community. I know y'all suffering out there. Wave that flag, wave them high. Come on, chomp at me now. Yeah, I'm waving the flag, spreading the six color love, representing all stars. Never receive the hug. This one is for you as much as it is for me. Hold your head to the stars and let your heart speak with thee. I'm waving the flag, spreading the six color love, representing all stars. Never receive the hug. One is for you as much as it is for me.
Most hated MC on the planet. Built myself a fan base, that's real. You can't deny it. Being me is such a struggle, cause it's hard to be accepted. I keep on making noise for this industry to hear it. I can only be myself, live my life with no regrets. You face female MC, repping G shape to the death. On top, don't forget, spit the truth with every breath. Number one in this game, the name is double F. But the breath that I breathe to spread my God-given talent. Perfect life for my family, loud and proud like the president. Met many peasants in my time trying to break me. Made a few enemies, first day at OLC I was teased. Some even lied on me, try to get me expelled so I can be a nobody. That started in 92, was hated on by many. Now I hold a legacy, they know that I'd be legendary.
I'm waving the flag, spreading the six color love, representing all stars, never receive the hug. This one is for you as much as it is for me. Hold your head to the stars and let your heart speak with thee. I'm waving the flag, spreading the six color love, representing all stars, never receive the hug. This one is for you as much as it is for me. Hold your head to the stars and let your heart speak with thee.
Now I'm holding, growing up myself, I'm blowing up, plus I'm owning up the stereotypes of dice. So what? Get a rush when the blood rush straight to my tip. I'm not trying to be explicit, but I tell you how it is. Settled in the habit of being rumored to match it. Plus freshman year of college gave me a whole new status. Hated by most of the fratters, cause I bagged the fatted asses. Plus I did in a week, but they dreamed. First year on campus, made friends thought I could trust, but friendships go bust. And suffering from a breakup, my poor heart had enough. Became the biggest asshole, insides were ice cold. No longer giving a what, ain't doing shit that I'm told.
I'm waving the flag, spreading the six color love, representing all stars, never receive the hug. This one is for you as much as it is for me. Hold your head to the stars and let your heart speak with thee. I'm waving the flag, spreading the six color love, representing all stars, never receive the hug.
free me from the voices in my head and the feelings I was feeling. I was scared to make the change to the one thing that'll make me happy, the person I really am, the person that is me. Got introduced to the life by a friend of the family. It opened up my eyes, I was blind and I was seen. This life will never be easy, my family they told me, but I gotta be headstrong, keep living my life for me. Many people cross my path, the aftermath and Rosie. Already an outsider, mama ain't here to hold me. Gotta fight my way through, express my point of view. So what if I'm G-A-Y, why does that offend you? You think that I'm gonna change just to make the haters happy? Still true to myself, a lesson I learned from Pappy. My ways are engraved and the bullshit slide past me. They're gazing afraid to act big and bashy. I'm waving the flag, spreading the six-color love. Representing all stars, never received a hug. This one is for you as much as it is for me. Hold your head to the stars, let your heart speak with thee. I'm waving the flag, spreading the six-color love. Representing all stars, never received a hug. This one is for you as much as it is for me. Hold your head to the stars, let your heart speak with thee. I'm waving the flag, spreading the six-color love. Representing all stars, never received a hug. This one is for you as much as it is for me. Hold your head to the stars, let your heart speak with thee. I'm waving the flag, spreading the six-color love. Representing all stars, never received a hug. This one is for you as much as it is for me. Hold your head to the stars, let your heart speak with thee. Let your heart speak with thee.
On November 2nd, Ben Paco Jennings, best known as DJ Melodic on KPFT's Solar Grooves, suffered cardiac arrest for still undetermined reasons and is now at St. Luke's Hospital in Houston. Paco is a beloved member of the KPFT community, and friends have organized an event to offset medical expenses and to support Paco's family during this difficult time. There will be a benefit for Solar Grooves DJ Melodic on Sunday, November 16th at Block 21, located at 2420 Washington Avenue from 1 to 4 p.m. Music will be provided by DJ Sun, DJ Chicken George, and Nick Cooper. Light snacks will be served. The community is invited to attend this benefit for KPFT's DJ Melodic. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
Yeah. blonde and blue. Well hung in bubble bath, too good to be true. Yeah, you know without a doubt, if I could do myself, you know I'd never leave the house. How come you don't love me as much as I love myself? How come you don't love me as much as I love? No B&D, no strings, no water sports, and no D&D. Don't bring me hang-ups, no STDs. Don't bring me anything that ain't just like me. Yeah, you know without a doubt, if I could do myself, you know I'd never leave the house. How come you don't love me as much as I love? Get myself excited. It's a party now and I'm the only one invited. Standing tall at full attention. Gazing at my own reflection. Yeah, you know, without a doubt.
Thank you for playing that.
I was just kind of looking for something to do some peppy stuff to play.
Yeah, I like that. I like that tune. That's relatively new for us.
I yanked out my cord.
Ooh.
That was Naked.
Mm-hmm.
N-E-K-K-E-D. How Come You Don't Love Me?
They're pretty consistent in their material. They've got several CDs out, and I really like their stuff.
Yeah, the first one that I listened to that I liked was The Boxer,
mm-hmm.
which is a cover
of the Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was raised on that kind of music.
Yeah. And then what did we have
before that was Naked Highway,
mm-hmm.
Better Off Naked, which I not really a theme going on that. It's just...
It just kind of happened.
Something I grabbed and was peppy.
Yeah.
Before that was Ms. Fontaine, Waving the Flag.
Mm-hmm.
Before that was Big Nug with La Revolution.
Ah, nice. Nice.
Which we were trying to quickly download. It's like, we need a second song to open the show with, and I had to download the clean version of that.
Yeah.
That always takes a little long.
It does. It does. On the cover of this month's Outsmart is an article about animal police.
Mm-hmm.
An interview with a man by the... I saw the cover. I glanced at the cover, and I didn't read it. And I saw it this evening and thought, oh, my God, it's Mark Timmers.
And?
Well, it seems as though... I don't watch Animal Planet, but it seems as though Mark Timmers is pretty popular. Because there's evidently a show
Animal about... Animal Cops Houston.
Yeah. But I'm thinking it's either 18 or 19 years ago, Mark Timmers was sitting in this studio being interviewed by Buddy Johnston because he had just left the Houston Police Department over discrimination because it was found out that he was gay. And I thought, I've often thought about Mark over the years, because now men and women serve in the police department openly gay without any problems. So much so that on special events like Bunnies in the Bayou, all the cops that do the patrolling are openly gay and lesbian. So, you know, in my lifetime, I've seen this come full circle to a point where if it was found out you were gay, you were booted out or not exactly booted out, but you didn't have backing of any of your fellow officers. So you were kind of forced out, which was what happened to him, to now being able to serve openly. And I had no idea that Mark had gone on to do the Animal Planet thing.
Yeah, I mean, several episodes they've done of the Houston Houston version. I mean, they do different cities,
mm-hmm.
And I watched it occasionally. And he being the official animal police officer, I had noticed him because I usually see constables from Precinct 1.
Mm-hmm.
Because they usually take him into Dale Grudzinski's court.
Oh yeah.
Whenever they're arguing that.
Yeah, good judge.
I think I saw on this. He's
good judge.
He's precinct 6. Is what his.
Oh.
But I don't think the precincts are that strong or strict of where they cross lines, wherever they're at. Yeah, but I haven't. I'll be honest, I haven't seen much of, been looking at Outsmart lately. I just haven't seen it come across as often.
Yeah.
As used to.
And there you are, on the page, full page, with an advertisement for the new movie named Milk, starring Sean Penn, which is, the feature film that's been in the works now for the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years, about the life of Harvey Milk, the first openly gay elected political person in the U.S., as a matter of fact, out of San Francisco, and the story of his life and death. That film is going to open right after Thanksgiving. There's been a pre-screening, and there's going to be a screening on Tuesday that I'm going to. So I'm very excited about that. I've heard nothing but wonderful things about the movie. It seems that it's a feature film, but I've been told that it's intersliced with documentary of the real events that happened. And from the picture, he looks uncannily like Harvey Milk. He's got the same kind of body shape and size.
I think they've been lucky with that between him and Peter Coyote,
mm-hmm.
who also played Milk in a movie.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. The company sent a poster to GCAM, and we've got that up on the wall at the GLBT Cultural Center. Located at 401 Bernard, by the way. Bernard and the freeway spur is where it is. It's kind of low between Lower Richmond and Lower West Alabama. What?
Oh, I'm just... One of those continuity questions. I'm looking at this.
You're looking at it upside down.
Yeah, because I'm making sure I'm seeing this one emblem right.
Okay.
I didn't think we used the pink triangle for a positive symbol in our community till the AIDS crisis.
Oh, no. It was before that.
Okay. Because in the picture here, he's wearing a black armband with a pink triangle.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was from what I remember, I thought it was mainly, you know, ACT UP.
Well, ACT UP really brought it to the forefront. Prior to that, it was the type of symbol that you, well, it was the era of, and the type of symbol that you wore when you could wear it in public and nobody knew, only gay people knew what it meant, is what I'm saying. Okay. It's sort of the era of, I don't know if you remember the old twit and the twit symbol when they had the bumper stickers. Yeah. And at that time, in the 70s and the 80s, people had them on their cars because the general population had no idea what it meant. But if you were driving across Texas and happened to see one, then you knew that a friend was behind the wheel.
Screenwriter's cute.
Yes.
Can we get him for an interview?
Probably only by phone, sorry.
At least we'll use a Yahoo cam.
Yeah. Something I wanted to talk about, and I don't know, maybe we should bring the boys in. I wanted to talk about words. I don't know how long this is going to take. Probably not very long.
We'll have to stretch it out because we've got time.
We've got time? Why don't we go to a piece of music so I can bring the guys in here? And
I don't have anything prepared.
Oh, okay.
I've been staring through here.
What I wanted to talk about was words in the gay community, and actually the black gay community especially. We're pretty much the trendsetters when it comes to art and fashion and design. We have it first, and then when it gets to the straight community, we just kind of, oh well, they're doing it, so we're going to go on to the next thing. So and I've noticed that I've been around a long time, folks, so I've seen I've been able to see trends like that. But certain words not exactly irritate me, but it's like they've run their 15 minutes of fame. Words like awesome. If I never hear that word again, it will be too soon.
Well, it's awesome is really more of an 80s term.
Yeah, well, you still hear it consistently. When I was first coming out, there was a word that that was used in the gay community, talking about a very sexy man. Usually, a porn star is what it was used to refer to, and that was hot. This guy's hot. Then in the early 70s, it started to translate more to men in the gay community. And I remember the first time that I heard somebody say that to me. It's like, what? Who? What? And so I'm here to tell you folks that Paris Hilton did not coin the word hot. It's been around a long time, and it's about time that we retired it and got a new word. Because it's boring. And
I need to get some CDs.
But other words like fabulous, that is so overused. We've got to get a new word. I remember the era of flawless. Everything was flawless. That came and went, and
we can't even decide on what we're going to call ourselves as a community, and you want to change the lexicon. Now, I know you dated Noah Webster,
hey,
but come on.
You just get tired of these words. It's when everybody is using it, it doesn't have the effect anymore.
That's why you say, when you say hot, you spell it H-A-W-T.
That's, you know, and I'm coming back to that trend where, you know, the straight community is using it. So, you know, come on, folks, we need a new word. I didn't expect you to just jump up with one. I mean, this is something you kind of have to think about.
I'm still looking for songs.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think that this was going to be a subject that commanded great attention, but I didn't think it would. I had no idea that you would be filled with
music.
Yeah. Filled with disinterest over it.
Well, it's just, you know, yes. I don't know. It's something I hadn't thought about, that, you know, even without having television and internet, it's not something that kind of crossed my mind this past week.
Imagine that. I should have planted it earlier in your mind. So you said, had I known you would have all this time on your hands, I might have asked you to think while you were playing solitaire or something. Yeah. It's these words come and go, these adjectives, that these superlatives, and we just need to have, I don't know, a list of ones that we can use, or a list of ones for the future, because they just, especially when it comes to superlatives, you use them a few times and then they just don't have the impact anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, that goes with everything. You know, it's
but something
like the one T-shirt say, hyperbole, the best thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Well, but especially the word hot, you know, we've been using this for way too long. It's time to get something new. I mean, after all, when I was a teenager, everybody was Miss Thing. You hardly ever hear that anymore.
It's Miss Thang. There's an A in it now.
Well, in Texas, yes. But it was Miss Thing the rest of the country. Mary is not used that much anymore, unless you're, you know, 50 or over.
Oh, I believe that was my fault.
Yes, you just don't hear it that much.
Well, that's, I don't even know where you get the see, if I would have known this, I would have brought my gay almanac, which explains some of these terms.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like I said, I was a library queen when I came out, and when I I worked in libraries. I did volunteer library aid. I was that geeky.
I owned the gay library.
But no, when I did, it was part of the coming out process, I went and bought books.
Yeah.
And one of them was the Gay Almanac.
Yeah, and there is a gay lexicon book.
The unofficial gay manual as well.
But even those are, the almanac hasn't been updated since, what?
They only made one edition.
No, they made two.
Oh.
Yes. But it's been years. So a lot of that material is dated.
Yeah, I think like in the unofficial gay manual, it says a good place to go have lunch is the Santa Fe Bar and Grill. They haven't served sandwiches in a while.
Right. Actually, JR's used to have a grill in it. It was called, the original name was JR's Bar and Grill. And I had lunch there many times.
It's scary going into a gay bar during daylight hours.
And eating. It's scary going into a gay bar and eating food.
Hello?
What?
I'm a part of a group that sells burgers on the back patio of the Ripcord.
That's different. That's a group that comes in to do it. But the bar doing it, it's just kind of a little,
But you know, it's one of those things that, because I remember going in there one time, hoping, you know, maybe I'll get something. I found some music to start with, at least. I know it's the one you like.
Oh?
Yeah.
You're playing country and western?
No.
Oh.
It's in my hand. It's just.
Oh, I see.
I hear enough of that country western crap out where I work.
But you don't hear gay country and western.
Oh, hell no.
No, see. There's a big difference.
Yeah. I would be interested to sneak into the music to them sometime and go. So they'll hear the country western beat and they go, what did he just say?
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like country western, but did you just say me and Billy Joe, 8 years old, cousins on my daddy's side?
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't talking about hunting when they went in the woods?
No, they weren't.
So, yeah, I'll save that for another time.
Okay.
Let's play some music, try and figure out what the hell we're going to do.
I'm ready for it.
And I know you like the song. I like it, too.
Okay.
What CD is it? Oh. CD 1, the Kinsey 6. Rose.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love, it is a hunger, an endless aching need. I say love, it is a flower, and you only seed. It's the heart afraid of breaking that never takes a chance. It's the metaphors we're making that audience. It's a song for karaoke, for all to desecrate. Still let's sing it okie dokie, but first let's modulate. When the lyrics are too schmaltzy, and the notes are held too long, and you wonder if this ditty is a dirge and not a song.
Just remember
to lick her toes. And like Bert, this song's a classic,
and that's
why we
went away, and you hung around and bothered me every night. And when I wouldn't go out with you, you said things that weren't very nice. My boyfriend's back, now you're gonna be in trouble.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
When you see him coming, better cut out on the double.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
You've been spreading lies that I was untrue. He's coming after you.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back. Hey, he knows what you've been trying, and he knows that you've been lying.
He's been gone for such a long time.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
Now he's back, and things will be fine.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
You're gonna be sorry you were ever. He's awful strong.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back. Hey, he knows I wasn't cheating. Now you're gonna get a beating. What made you think he'd believe all your lies? Wahoo!
gonna save my reputation.
Hela, Hela, my boyfriend's back.
If I were you, I'd take a permanent vacation.
Hela, Hela, my boyfriend's back.
Hey, I can see it coming. Now you better start a running. Gonna save my reputation.
Hela, Hela, my boyfriend's back.
Hela, Hela,
my boyfriend's back
now.
Hela, my boyfriend's back.
What were you thinking? Cause you're gonna get
my boyfriend
right now.
It's been 7 hours and 15 days. since you took your love away.
Try to
Hello. Yeah, your mics are hot in there, so.
Wow. Let us know you got a pulse.
Hi.
We played a whole bunch of music there.
Goody, we are live now.
Okay.
Hold on.
Hold on.
There, now your mic's gone.
Hold on.
Let's go first. Tell everyone what they listen to.
Okay. Something I brought up.
Hold on. I was going to say what music we just got through playing.
Oh, sorry.
And then you started going wherever you want to.
Yeah, I know.
Pay attention, Mary.
For those of you who are listening, and there were some people listening, my God, we got two callers, and the phone conversations did not start off with, "You have a collect call from an inmate in the Harris County Jail."
Oh, God, I hate those. I really hate those.
One was the DJ from EJ's wanting to know one of our artists we played earlier, Naked. And someone was also wanting to thank us for playing Klaus Nomi.
Ah.
And we've got to find it. He said there is a Klaus Nomi documentary movie out there. We have to find it.
Got to find it. Got to see it.
We did a whole bunch of cover songs in that group. Started off with Kinsey Six, The Rose. Jay Spears, My Boyfriend's Back. Klaus Nomi, You Don't Own Me. Me First and the Gimme Gimmies with Nothing Compares to You. And that last one was a dance mix version of Dreamweaver. Now, Jimmy.
Oh. Come on, Mary.
Before the music, I brought up a subject that I wanted to talk about and wanted to get various opinions about. And this crowd is varied age, so...
And I think probably quite opinionated.
Oh, yeah.
That would be an understatement.
I disagree with that.
The question...
Okay, I was saying that the gay community, and especially the black gay community, are known as trendsetters. Mm. We're there for fashion, we're there for design, we do it first.
Yeah.
And then straight people pick it up, and then... When they do, we get tired of it, and we go on to something else.
Yeah.
I mean, heavy metal fashion came from gay fashion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which was an interesting thing, because I went to some bars thinking, oh, well, this is like a heavy metal bar or something.
Surprise.
Right.
Well, hell, during the 80s, heavy metal folks wore more makeup than most drag queens.
Yes. But that's not where I was going.
Go on.
That was just an introduction, because what I was talking about is language. And words that the gay community uses.
Oh,
and
goodness.
and how I'm just over some of them. Like, if I never hear awesome again, it will be too soon. contrary to popular opinion, Paris Hilton did not coin the word hot at all.
Who's Paris Hilton?
No, it's Harris Tilton.
Isn't that, you know, that guy with the website?
I first heard hot in the gay community in the late 60s, and usually referred to porn actors.
Yeah.
And then towards the 70s, we started using it amongst ourselves. I remember in the early 70s, somebody came up to me and said, oh, I think you're hot. And I
have a question. So by using the term in the 60s, hot, that... implied that a certain person was a porn star?
Well, it was used for porn stars in reference
porn
to porn
snack-ish.
Stars.
Okay.
That they were sexy.
And
right.
Then it later became adopted by the common people in the gay community.
Yeah,
to
and
mean,
I'm like, okay,
hot.
This word has been around 40 years. Let's get another one. I'm over it. Why? We ought to have.
I don't
a
know
whole
if we have
words,
to. I mean, if we have
especially
to,
when it comes to superlatives.
I mean, we have to invent new words. Isn't that kind of superficial?
Well,
I mean, if we have to invent it.
We're talking about superlatives, and what we do is we take words and we make them popular.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Remember when flawless was very popular? You do.
Yes, I do.
Yes. Everything was flawless.
But then when Robert De Niro made a movie called Flawless, that kind
of
ruined it.
Then it was awesome. And you know, we've just got to get some new words. And hot is one of them that I'm just over. We've got to get something new.
Well,
but these sort of things happen on a more...
Random.
Tend to happen on a much more sort of natural... Sort of... Somebody says something and all of a sudden, you know, like 5 billion people are...
I know.
...saying it.
And now the...
I mean, it's not... I think it's probably a little more difficult to intentionally invent...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you remember the whole Valley Speak
Somebody
thing.
Somebody had to intentionally invent.
You know.
Frank Zappa.
Yeah.
With his single, Valley Girl.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. I mean.
My thought is that the word hot is well beyond old age. It's time to retire it.
Huh.
And what would you replace
I don't know yet.
With?
I don't know. It's open for suggestion. Mm.
Then, since you're the one who suggested it, maybe you're the one who should come up with it.
That's an easy way out.
You know.
No, I'm just trying
just
to get
saying,
you off and think. Think
I'm
about
just
it
saying,
this week.
Because normally the person who comes up with the idea normally finds a way to solve it before anybody else, because they originally came up with it.
I don't know. I think a lot of a new lexicon is coming from the internet.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't get
that
me started.
Propagating
on.
Quite a
yeah.
bit of...
Yeah.
And also with all the text messaging and everything that people do, we always use, like, all these little abbreviations and everything just to mean certain words.
And but now they're actually being verbalized.
That's, yeah.
That's driving me nuts. I'm sorry. There's nothing that annoys me more than people talking in text speak.
Oh.
I know in some conversations I've had, you know, rather than saying I laughed, I was like, well, I really lolled at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
like, yeah.
I mean, it's something that's kind of crazy.
That's special for the gay community.
Or
I mean,
also, it's like,
does that,
or right? also like Rolf or Lamo.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like that's also laughing, like rolling on the floor, laughing and laughing my off,
laughing your ass off. Yeah,
right.
LOL.
Laugh out loud.
Yeah.
We all too often these days tend to get various changes in language and stuff from TV shows.
Yes.
And
or popular stars.
You know, you were talking about flawless.
Too.
Why don't we we created that word. The gay community created that word. Not created it, but
embraced
popularized
it.
Yes.
Popularized.
There you
it.
Go. There you go.
I mean,
how come we're not doing that?
Well, also, recently we have popularized the word fabulous because...
Oh, my God, there's another tired word. That's from...
That is so totally
before the
fabulous.
Before the 50s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I know.
It's I mean, like, we tried to change it to fagulous.
Like,
you know, that
or
helped them.
Or
phrases like
that. Or fagtastic.
That's so 5 minutes ago. Things like
oh, wow.
that.
Yeah.
That's so it's 5 minutes ago.
And, you know, we had the whole Will and Grace thing, and I
oh,
know more
no.
people. I was doing it myself earlier today. I was like, yeah, somebody had brought up what I look like when I'm not in costume and when I'm wearing my everyday clothes and how I still get, you know, it's like, it's a Karen moment every time. It's like, what's this? What's going on here? What's this?
Yeah.
And the hand is going. And it's like, I mean, people talk like that now. There are people who take stuff right out of TV shows.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they use
But that's
it.
Lazy.
And yes, right. it is. But we've become a society that would much rather...
we adapt.
Yeah. We sort of... did what the Romans and the Greeks did with their gods. We stole everything from
right.
somebody else and made it ours.
I was joking
I
was joking with somebody at work, there was a lot of younger people who worked there. I'm like, well, I'm going to have to learn how to speak MySpace or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to get that off my chest.
So a new word in place of hot.
We need new superlatives.
Would you have something else on your chest, though? I mean, you always seem to have something on your chest.
No. Oh. It's been a while since I had anything of considerable weight on my chest.
Define considerable weight.
And how long
anything
ago was
heavier
it?
Than you, Mark.
Wait till we get off the air, then I can really say it.
Oh, yeah.
Anyhow.
Okay, that was my 2 cents for the week.
Your 2 cents? It was more like 5 or 10.
Well,
anyway.
Adjusted for inflation.
Yeah. I got a better response from you guys than I did earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I think that, I really do think that language, you know, used. I had an interesting conversation recently with somebody. We were talking about how there's always these, like, very people who think themselves very important, and they know everything about language.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
And they think that the way people talk today is the destruction of the English language.
William Sapphire.
Yeah, and I want to go full corn.
Right.
It's not the destruction of it.
You're not going to destroy a language.
No.
The only way to destroy a language is to cease to use it.
Mm-hmm.
The English language simply changes with the times that you're in.
It
alters with the times within. There, I mean, how often are you hearing on the news that Webster's Dictionary or some stuff like that is adding new whole phrases that were not in use 10 years ago. I mean, we do have a new language of computer speak.
Yeah.
We do have new languages. I mean, who was talking about stem cells 20 years ago?
Nobody. These languages were not words.
It's an evolution.
Language is ever-changing.
It's an evolution. And, yeah.
When's the last time... you heard somebody under 50 use the term Mary?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's that, Mary?
See?
I remember,
you only use it because you heard me use it.
I remember somebody... Well, no, he...
I used to be Mary.
She uses it all the
You mean
time.
They had a Miss but Mary's pageant?
So I guess...
I know somebody who used to use the name Helen all the time.
Helen, yes.
And you probably remember him.
Mm-hmm.
Short little Hispanic dude we once knew.
Hey, Helen.
Anyhow, he... And everything was Helen with him.
The other thing is...
Everybody Helen. Look, Helen. And, you know, now look.
Some of my Hispanic friends use Maria, too. So.
And he would... The funniest stuff was... that when I saw his obituary, and I saw that he actually has a relative named Helen.
Oh.
I just fell out of... Here he was. I was sad that he was gone. I read this in his obit, and oh, I'm on the floor.
Yes.
That was just too... That was a priceless thing to me, okay?
That
was a beautiful moment. I was like... So that's where she got that from. All these years.
Everybody was Helen. I remember that.
So I guess language, in a way, is kind of like David Bowie.
Mm.
You know, it's constantly mutating.
Yes.
But also that shows that language, along with everything else in this world, is adaptable.
Right.
And at some point, these words will go out of general use or they will simply become less used. I mean, people still use words... Okay, Valley speak started in the 80s, basically, when I was a teenager and in my late teens and 20s.
Yes, I remember.
Yes, and stuff.
I was not.
Yes, you were older than that.
Thank you.
Anyhow, my point is that here it is that far removed from that. And there are still certain words. I mean, the whole language isn't often spoken. The whole slew of stuff that just irritates the tick out of me. But there are still certain words, certain keywords that people might come up with once in a while. And it's more like people get very into a certain way of speaking. I mean, we could talk about rap music.
Yeah.
I mean, now that we have gay rap artists and stuff. Mm-hmm. There is, listen to rap music when it began.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And listen to how it has evolved. And the language is not the same.
No.
The way it sounds is not the same. It has evolved. Some might say not necessarily for the better.
I understand language evolution. There's just certain words I'm ready for them to evolve.
For them to
evolve. Or retire.
It's
sort of that list that you see every year that usually comes out towards the end of the year. What's hot, what's not.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, these are all the things that should no longer be used. These are all the things.
Yeah, the new things.
This is the new stuff.
Yeah.
Back to that music thing. It doesn't just belong to rap. Also, look at country. Look at rock and roll, the way it started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And look at the artist now. It's like the father of country was, what's his name?
It was somebody else.
Hank
Williams?
Alan Jackson. That's his name, I believe.
Alan Jackson?
I don't remember. There was the father of country, though. He was on the CMA Awards the last Wednesday. And then it was showing all the newer artists. And
Hank Williams could be his grandfather.
I don't care. Hell, hey, you could even be his grandfather, probably.
Well, yeah, well.
Hank Williams Jr. could be his grandfather at this point.
But not Hank 3.
It's like, look at all the music and everything. How it started out is completely
180
degrees from where it started. Especially country. First started, I've heard a lot of the older country music. My dad is a big fan of it.
Apparently not
especially with Johnny Cash and the older music that he did.
Yeah.
It was as much soulful as it is now, but more of a country sort of sounding stuff.
Twang.
Nowadays, they're mixing.
It sounds like pop music.
Yeah, country and
more like pop. Yeah.
Country and rock is being mixed just to make it more, just to culture it more to the community.
You know, at one point they invented that thing called the wall of sound in music.
Right.
And country music has started to get there, where it's all about this background sound.
Yeah.
And somebody singing, and the sound in the background never stops.
Oh, I hate that. It's like I want to hear the person's voice, not the background.
Yeah. I want to know what they're saying. I want to listen to the words.
It's like, because I want to hear their voice, too.
Especially in something like country, gospel, whatever. There are certain kinds of music where the words mattered.
Okay.
We don't have a lot of songs like the ballads that used to be of the 70s, 60s.
The power ballads?
Not the power ballads of the 80s. That's a whole nother issue. talking the hair bands.
Okay. Damn. Much like this conversation has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should go on to another one.
Okay.
Why is it getting old and boring?
Not old and boring, but we're getting out of the context.
This awesome, fabulous program is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
And thank you for allowing me my little vanity on words.
I'm just impressed you actually spent that much time in the studio during the show. It must be really cold outside. I'm sorry, did I use my outside voice?
Yes.
Well, you have an inside voice, you mean?
Okay, explain to me the concept of inside voice again, because I forgot.
You mean you don't have one?
Yeah, because your outside and inside are much the same, isn't it?
All right, I wanted to start off kind of our roundtable stuff playing two clips for you.
the first one, let's go with a serious one. Let's go Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann, from MSNBC.
Oh my God!
On Monday,
calm down.
Clean up on aisle four.
I know. I saw this thing and I just went crazy.
But Keith did a special comment regarding Prop 8,
mm-hmm.
and it was the interesting part about it. It was, you know, it's an open secret that Rachel Maddow is lesbian.
Yeah.
Right.
She doesn't talk about it. And they didn't have their usual transition between Countdown and the Rachel Maddow show where they have a little bit of banter between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
It basically, he ends his segment and then it kind of went to black for 2 seconds and then she started talking.
Oh.
So there wasn't the usual, like I said, a little banter between the two of them. So I wanted to play that for you, and then we're also going to play the that petition drive video clip to banning heterosexual divorce. So here's a couple Prop 8 things, and then we're gonna, then we'll be right back with this.
this is
MSNBC's Countdown with Keith Olbermann from this past Monday. Okay, try clicking it, click it again and click it. The internet connection's not wanting to work with us.
Oh.
We have the full text.
Well, no, hold on. Just hit the pause button again. Let's go to the other one. And we'll see if this will work. This is weird.
This is very weird.
This one's playing, but there's no
sound.
And then it stops.
Well, we stopped it.
Oh.
No, because I played something earlier off of.
Oh, yeah.
Try clicking. That's true. So much variety. Here. Give me this, Mary.
It's been revived.
Isn't it, though?
Huh.
Did anybody see
this? Yeah, I don't have their mics on in there.
I don't have... What? We're not on?
No, now you're on.
Oh, good.
Oh.
No, I don't have cable.
Okay.
And so neither do I.
Neither do I.
I live without it.
I will say this, though. I usually...
Although I may have to get it just to get a decent TV screen before...
Because of the DTV transition thing.
Oh, yeah.
There are times where I'll pass it up, but once I heard that... I heard the tone of his voice change dramatically in a way that I really haven't heard. I stopped what I was doing. I really focused on it.
Yeah, and it's been circulating over the internet a lot. In fact, there were... At the protest rally today for Prop 8, there was a sign saying, "Olbermann is my new hero," and I totally understood it. After this, I was amazed. I was.
I can't help but think that it's amazing to me. I'm sure I said this last time when we were talking about Obama and all that. It's, here we are. On one hand, America has gotten over it when it comes to electing somebody who's of a different shade than 75% of the people who voted.
Yeah.
And yet, on the other hand, we still let certain groups shanghai people's minds and get them to think that this, you know, it'll be the end of life as we know it if gay people get married.
Yeah.
The
or adopt children.
Or adopt children.
Or adopt children.
Yes.
You know. And every time the subject of gay, I can't help but think of what Peter Gomes said in his book Scandalous Gospel of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
about, you know, that it was amazing to him. And here is a man who's been a scholar for, you know, decades upon decades, that on one, that the, here we are, that people are so upset about the idea of two people who have nothing to do with their relationship getting married, and that marriage would somehow affect their relationship. However,
how?
Divorce, which is a much bigger danger.
Yes.
Nobody's willing to outlaw divorce,
uh-huh.
which is a much bigger danger,
yes,
to heterosexual marriage.
Absolutely.
That's the thing, that divorce among heterosexuals is the thing that really destroys families. That's the problem.
However, I came from an era, I grew up, I was very small, in an era where it was extremely difficult to get a divorce,
mm-hmm.
plus the fact that society looked down on people who were divorced.
And now blonde Nimrods can get one in 48 hours
yeah.
from the day they got
yeah.
married.
But the problem with that is people stay together because of societal pressures and because of strong laws, and it made for really, really rotten family life.
What's better is
I know an
the
awful
two people
lot of
married.
People who in hindsight would have much rather have had a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
Then go through some
goodness.
Of the shinola that they had
yeah.
to.
but it was an era that a single woman would have a lot of trouble.
Absolutely. I mean, we used to
raising children, and yeah. you know, she wouldn't be able to bring in enough money.
A perfect example of the I was discussing the Rosalind Russell version of MAME
mm-hmm.
with somebody. And there is a beautiful moment when she is trying to terrorize her nephew's new girlfriend's parents. And,
oh, yes.
And she announces that she has bought the property next door to their home for the Epstein home for wayward, you know, for unmarried mothers. And you have to put it in a context that today, an unmarried mom doesn't have nearly the shock that it would have in the time period that story's supposed
mm-hmm.
to take place.
Mm-hmm.
It would, in that time period, it would have been, you would not have been considered a part of society.
Absolutely not.
You would have been treated like you were a monster.
And
in that
your
time.
Child.
And your
right.
child. That child, you
You're
know.
The bastard
they,
child.
Exactly. They would use that
People
word
People would
a
not
person.
Let their children play with your child.
Mm-hmm.
These
because
days,
this child didn't have a married father.
And these days, you know, somebody hears their child called a bastard, and they likely get knocked on their butt by the parent,
yeah.
oh,
by
yeah.
the single parent,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah,
it, we have, and that is.
In a small space of time,
and
too.
In a very small space
mm-hmm.
of time, comparatively. I mean, the whole Obama thing, it's only been 44 years.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know.
I mean, yes, it took several hundred to go from, you know, slavery to people to civil rights. But it's only taken 44 to go from civil rights to a biracial
right.
president.
That's just amazing
mm-hmm.
to me.
I mean, and so. On one level, yeah, we still have struggles and stuff that we have to deal with, and some changes don't come easy, but they come.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And I don't know how the government's going to deal with all these things. I don't. I mean, I realize that state constitutions have their own way of doing
mm-hmm.
stuff, but somewhere along the line, even these rules have to, these laws based in people's fears, even those someday must fall, because someday people are going to get it. Someday people will get that this doesn't this isn't about their relationship. It's about our relationship and that equality.
It's about equality.
And separate, we decided 40 plus years ago that separate but equal didn't work for one group of people.
It shouldn't work for any group
of people. Mm-hmm. Not just black, not just gay, not just any group of people.
That reminds me, I was talking with my my dad and two of my friends, Craig and Nancy, earlier today at their apartment. And they were complaining about Obama getting in. And I'm like...
Complaining?
Yeah, because he did not put his heart over his...
His hand over
You know,
his
he
heart?
Didn't put his hand okay. over his wow. heart for the that is for the national anthem. And also because he didn't believe in God. I came back to them and said... And I got really mad about it because they were basically bashing that he was not
for superficial
two.
Reasons.
Yeah, and it's like... I'm like... It is wrong for you to bash someone just because they do not believe in God. If you made every single politician make them believe in God, you are pushing your religion on them, and
you debate
everything this country stands for.
And I
politicians country stands for freedom.
Politicians
and
believe in God as long as it serves them staying in office.
I mean, they will.
Of course.
If you push your religion on them, that's basically saying that. You have to believe this or else you will not be in office. It's
and
like
last time I checked, we have a constitution. We're not a totalitarian state.
Ta-da.
Right. This isn't Soviet Russia.
Yeah.
This isn't Cuba. Mm.
This is the United States.
You know, this isn't Marcos's Philippines.
And you know, something else that you said about the hand over the heart thing. It struck me as very, very odd because I'm 60 years old. I come from an era when you hear the Star Spangled Banner, you stand up, you put your hand over your heart. I've been at some formal events this past year, and I've been watching because formal events, people in tuxes, they start out doing the national anthem. Either playing it or someone singing it live.
Right.
And people are standing. And in those events, and it's a varied age group from 20s to my age, maybe half a dozen of us had our hands over our heart.
Me right. personally, I do it out of respect for the people who have served to protect this country.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up that everybody did it, but
yeah.
it's not that big of a deal anymore.
We also live in a society where half the people putting their hands over their hearts... couldn't sing the words the song.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people...
I think there may be other ways to show your respect.
It's not...
If you don't put your hand over your heart, they're going to shoot you dead.
It's sort of like this whole patriotism kick that we're so obsessed and have been so obsessed with over the last 8 years.
Yeah.
And more.
And I'll bring it back to the gay community because I remember during the height of the AIDS crisis...
Mm-hmm.
It was, people wore red ribbons.
Mm-hmm.
But it got to the point where on an awards show that if you didn't wear a red ribbon, people talked about you. And I thought, well, that isn't right either.
Right.
No.
It's not something everybody has to wear. This is an individual thing.
And yes, while that ribbon for a very long time symbolized...
Yes.
And it was your outward symbol...
And because you're not wearing one doesn't mean that you're not supporting the AIDS crisis.
It's like what you... what's more important than some symbol sitting on your chest, be it a ribbon, an American flag pin, blah, 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 blah.
Because there are people that... They're wearing those, and that's all they're doing.
That's all they're doing.
They're not really helping the cause.
It's like, what are you doing
exactly.
to get
yes.
to, for
yes.
it? What are you? Where are you putting your money? You know, where are you putting your money where your pin is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But also back.
It's just, and in our community, I am constantly hearing people talk about how. I mean, when the 80s and AIDS hit, there was activism out the wazoo.
Absolutely.
Now it's on some issues, it is pulling teeth to get people to show up for stuff.
I know.
And And that's another thing about this.
That's why
we've finally gotten to the point where people actually are starting to care again, and just now starting to show up for the things.
That's why the Prop 8 rally was
something on a massive scale to really, you know, say, oh wow, I think we should be doing something.
Yes, like Prop 8, the murder of Paul Broussard. You know, really, really big things. That's what it takes to get people out there. Like today, there was a couple of thousand people out there for the Prop 8 rally downtown.
Two friends of mine went to that.
I mean, I'm an old dinosaur when it comes to that. I'm from the ACT UP days, and I can remember.
We did it, California.
Here we go.
We protected marriage and we protected children by voting yes on Prop 8.
But we can't stop there. We must continue to protect marriage and to protect children.
That's why we're asking you to sign our petition to prohibit divorce between heterosexual married couples. Divorce destroys the sanctity of marriage and its powerful influence on the betterment of society.
This proposition would keep the very meaning of marriage from being transformed into nothing more than a contractual relationship between two adults.
Prohibiting divorce between heterosexual married couples will keep the interests of children and families intact.
We will continue to celebrate marriage as the union of husband and wife, not as a relationship between Party A and Party B.
The marriage of a man and a woman has been at the heart of society since the beginning of time.
And it promotes the ideal opportunity for children to be raised by a mother and a father.
In a family held together by the legal, communal, and spiritual bonds of marriage.
As a society, we should put the best interests of children first, and those interests lie in traditional marriage.
Permitting divorce destroys marriage as we know it, and causes a profound harm to society.
We should be restoring marriage, not undermining it.
And for those of you who voted yes for Prop 8 but disagree with this petition, why?
Everything we just said, we copied and pasted from literature from your website, protectmarriage.com.
And we applied it to divorce instead of gay marriage.
So, how can you argue with your own words?
Remember, Proposition 8 wasn't actually about gay marriage.
When it passed, it told a group of Americans they are second-class citizens.
Wow. Don't you love that?
That's brilliant.
They just took their own words.
They just...
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
You can...
That's brilliant.
Now, this is from the Uptight Citizens Brigade Theater.
Oh, yeah.
You can You can find this at funnyordie.com.
Funnyordie?
Yeah. .com. Now, let me see if I can get Keith back.
That's just brilliant.
I want to hear the Keith thing again. Because it stopped me in my tracks. When I
Chris, you sound like you're used to typing with one hand there. Yeah, but strangely, that was my right hand.
Well,
isn't that special?
Can someone say TMI?
WTMI.
Let's see if this is... I'll have to cut it... If it starts working, I'll have to cut it down quickly because there's a commercial before it plays.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay, good. Let's let it run.
All right.
Okay, there's a little commercial, so you want to set this up?
Yeah, well, what it is, it's in 23 seconds. This, once again, was Keith Olbermann's special comment. And usually he'd be making these for political commentary up until the election. And this is one about Prop 8 that he said on Monday.
Seeing as how he doesn't have... Well, actually, he was kicking Palin around pretty good the other day, too. I saw him.
So let's see. The video will start here in a second once the commercial there ends.
Mm-hmm.
Wait for the little symbol. Actually, I think what I want to do is this.
Promised a special comment on the passage last week of Proposition 8 in California, which rescinded the right of same-sex couples to marry and tilted the balance up on this issue from coast to coast. Some parameters as preface. This isn't about yelling, and this isn't about politics,
I'm going to pause the video here for a moment and let it cache. The reason why it's stuttering is because it's basically broadcasting the same time as it's downloading.
Right.
Okay. Oh.
So that's why it's stuttering.
Come on, you don't know that? As many... Anyway, never mind.
Yeah, don't you go online to look at...
Yeah, don't you too? Anyway, I've seen your video.
No, you haven't.
I was talking about Mark.
Oh.
Whatever. I've seen your who now many you have.
Mark, okay. You have a video?
Just go to XTube. You'll find Jose.
All right. Let's
will I find Mark?
No.
Let's go back. Okay, I think I've queued in enough here. All right, once again, Keith,
moving on.
Keith Olbermann's special comment from Monday.
Issue from coast to coast. Some parameters as preface. This isn't about yelling, and this isn't about politics, and this isn't really just about Prop 8. And I don't have a personal investment in this. I'm not gay. I had to strain to think of one member of even my very extended family who is. I have no personal stories of close friends or colleagues fighting prejudice that still pervades their lives. And yet, to me, this vote is horrible. Horrible. Because this isn't about yelling, and this isn't about politics. This is about the human heart. And if that sounds corny, so be it. If you voted for this proposition, or you support those who did, or the sentiment they expressed, I have some questions, because truly, I do not understand. Why does this matter to you? What is it to you? In a time of impermanence and fly-by-night relationships, these people over here want the same chance at permanence and happiness that is your option. They don't want to deny you yours. They don't want to take anything away from you. They want what you want, a chance to be a little less alone in the world. Only now you are saying to them, no, you can't have it on these terms. Maybe something similar if they behave, if they don't cause too much trouble. You'll even give them all the same legal rights, even as you are taking away the legal right which they already had. A world around them still anchored in love and marriage, and you're saying, no, you can't marry. What if somebody passed a law that said you couldn't marry? I keep hearing this term, redefining marriage. If this country hadn't redefined marriage, black people still couldn't marry white people. 16 states had laws on the books which made that illegal in 1967. 1967. The parents of the president-elect of the United States could not have married in nearly one-third of the states of the country their son grew up to lead. But it's worse than that. If this country had not redefined marriage, some black people still couldn't marry other black people. It is one of the most overlooked and cruelest parts of our sad history of slavery. Marriages were not legally recognized if the people were slaves. Since slaves were property, they could not be legally husband and wife, nor mother and child. Their marriage vows were different. Not until death do you part, but until death or distance do you part. Marriages among slaves were not legally recognized. You know, just like marriages today in California are not legally recognized if the people are gay. And uncountable in our history are the number of men and women forced by society into marrying the opposite sex in sham marriages or marriages of convenience or just marriages of not knowing. Centuries of men and women who have lived their lives in shame and unhappiness and who have, through a lie to themselves or others, broken countless other lives of spouses and children, all because we said a man could not marry another man or a woman could not marry another woman. The sanctity of marriage. How many marriages like that have there been? And how on earth do they increase the sanctity of marriage rather than render that term meaningless? What is this to you? Nobody is asking you to embrace their expression of love. But don't you as human beings have to embrace that love? The world is barren enough. It is stacked against love and against hope and against those very few and precious emotions that enable us, all of us, to go forward. Your marriage only stands a 50-50 chance of lasting, no matter how much you feel and how hard you work. And here are people overjoyed at the prospect of just that chance and that work just for the hope of having that feeling. With so much hate in the world, with so much meaningless division and people pitted against each other for no good reason, this is what your religion tells you to do? With your experience of life and this world and all its sadnesses, this is what your conscience tells you to do? With your knowledge that life, with endless vigor, seems to tilt the playing field in which we all live in favor of unhappiness and hate, this is what your heart tells you to do? You want to sanctify marriage? You want to honor your God and the universal love you believe he represents? Then spread happiness. This tiny, symbolic, semantical grain of happiness. Share it with all those who seek it. Quote me anything from your religious leader or book of choice telling you to stand against this. And then tell me how you can believe both that statement and another statement, and another one which reads only, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You are asked now by your country, perhaps by your Creator, to stand on one side or another. You're asked now to stand not on a question of politics, not a question of religion, not on a question of gay or straight. You are asked now to stand on a question of love. All you need to do is stand and let the tiny ember of love meet its own fate. You don't have to help it. You don't have to applaud it. You don't have to fight for it. Just don't put it out. Just don't extinguish it. Because while it may at first look like that love is between two people you don't know and you don't understand and maybe you don't even want to know, that love is in fact the ember of your love for your fellow person. Just because this is the only world we have and the other guy counts too. This is the second time I have found myself in 10 days concluding by turning to, of all things, the closing plea for mercy by Clarence Darrow in a murder trial. But what he said fits what is really at the heart of all of this. He said, I was reading last night of the aspiration of the old Persian poet Omar Khayyam. This is what he told the judge. It appealed to me as the highest that I can vision. I wish it was in my heart. I wish it was in the hearts of all. So I be written in the book of love. I do not care about that book above. Erase my name or write it as you will. So I be written in the book of love. Good night and good luck.
Woo! Keith Olbermann from MSNBC.
That is powerful.
Wow. Yes.
And thank you, Keith.
He makes a very good point there, you know.
Several.
And it makes me question people's accountability, honestly. You know, are y'all that are out there that are against gay marriage, are y'all doing this because it's a threat to you or because you're hiding behind your religion to justify justifying being against everything that, you know, challenges your values and your beliefs? Come on now. You know, I'm blown away.
And you see some of the backlash of that as in several places in California, you have protests at Mormon temples,
mm-hmm.
because it was a very big, a large push by the Mormon church, among other churches, putting forward this amendment. They went to protest in front of the Saddleback Church, which is the church that back they did a it's an evangelical church. And when they did the faith-based debate,
right,
he was the host of that, and so there's protests out in front of there as well. But you know, it's, you know, I've joked about it, and you know, I made the same joke I've done in the past here about gay marriage, saying I always hope we would aspire to something besides a 50% failure rate. Mm. And you know, it's something different, you know, coming from me. I've said it before, in that, you know, last month my parents celebrated 41 years of marriage. You don't see that.
No. No,
I've
no,
got
you don't.
A brother who's been with his now wife for at least 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
My other brother, they've been married for 5-6 years, but they were going together for another 7 years before that, before they got married. It's something that's big in my family, you know.
Right.
Both sets of my grandparents.
Yeah.
It was till death do they part.
Yeah, you rarely see those kind of numbers of years nowadays. For one thing, my parents, they've been married for 33. Next year it'll be 34 years. And they knew each other and were together before they were married for about 2 or 3 beyond that.
The thing is that you see more gay couples that are together for 10 years, 15 years, and in some cases as long as 50 or even 60 years.
I once, you see that more often nowadays.
I used to be friends with a couple who had been together for 33 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see the gay, the homosexual couples being together a lot longer than you do heterosexual couples, because a lot of time I've noticed this in a lot of heterosexual relationships nowadays, it's based off of sex and that's it. No relationship, no nothing. It's just sex. It's like, that's not a way to have a relationship. No wonder your relationship only lasts like 1 or 2 years, because you get unsatisfied with your partner and then dump them.
Yeah, I had an interesting conversation with an acquaintance of mine at a coffee shop that it's what does it say about somebody's beliefs or somebody's way of thinking that an opposing view threatens their way so much that they have to fight against it to the point of trying to wipe that opposing view out? What does it say of the strength of their view? That they don't have enough faith in their way of doing things that theirs can't withstand things that essentially, in the end, truly have nothing to do with their way of life.
And besides, wiping out another person's way of life or point of view is basically saying, I don't want to hear that side of the story. I don't want to hear their voice.
Right.
You're basically trying to extinguish their voice and not hear any future opinions or things that might be insightful into your own situation.
What?
Because you might need them later for, you might want to talk to them later about a situation you're going through that they had already been through, but you extinguished them, so to speak, and now you can't go back and talk to them.
The minute you make somebody else less than,
yeah,
you extinguish the possibility of learning from that person.
And the thing is that Prop 8 isn't, these rallies are not isolated just to California.
Oh, no.
This is sweeping across the country.
It was a national movement.
Yeah. It's become, you know, it's bigger than what I expected it would be. You know, usually these things are just, oh, well, it's said and done. But here you have a situation where people who were legally married,
18,000 people, 18,000 couples.
Yes. They were legally married in the state of California, and now the rug's been pulled under them. And a lot of people are wondering, what the hell? And even I'm starting to wonder, what's going on here?
My question I'd like to have to the Prop 8 supporters is, I want to hear them talk about marriage in the sense of, how supportive was it with Newt Gingrich going to his wife dying of cancer and divorcing her on her almost deathbed?
Yeah.
So he can marry his girlfriend. I want to hear how marriage is made better by Britney Spears getting drunk off her ass and marrying her high school boyfriend, her high school sweetheart in Las Vegas, and having it annulled 48 hours later.
Or what about
that shotgun marriage that's going to be happening up in Alaska because that stupid hockey player decided to screw the governor's daughter?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the thing, too, is on the flip side is, okay, what about these couples or these men and women who get married and hubby goes off and plays around with some guy and doesn't realize that he has HIV until his wife comes up positive? You know, what's going through their head? You know, if you know and you're keeping it a secret from your partner, you know, that to me does not make sense. If you're gay and you know it and you're out there being promiscuous with other men or with other women and you're coming back home and you're bringing this into your bedroom, what is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that
No, this is something that, you know, I've teased and kidded about, and seeing what's happened here, and you have to think about this, how it's going. I mean, even the Houston Chronicle, where is that? Even though they misspelled Chronicle, here.
Yeah, well, yeah.
In the Outsmart, they talked about it here. They actually published a gay wedding announcement in the Chronicle.
Yeah, they did. I read about that.
Once I find it in here again.
That's,
you know, and that's something they've, you know, it's been teased about in the past, of actually seeing something like that in the...
For the Chronicle, that's pretty progressive, though. Because the Chronicle used to be a pretty conservative rag. It was, the Chronicle was very conservative, whereas the Post was very liberal. And growing up, we had both.
And once again, it just goes to prove how far we have come.
Yes.
Yeah. Here it is.
Obviously not far enough, but how far we have come.
We have come pretty far, but pretty far is not necessarily far enough.
Right, but where will we go?
We have a little bit further to go.
Yeah,
where will we go?
Not just a little further to go, we actually have quite a bit farther to go, because you have to also look at the point of view that there's still a lot of racism in this world. There's still a lot of segregation. It's just within society, because there are still people who teach their children to hate another person just because of their color of their skin and not what's in their heart.
The old song goes, you have to be carefully taught.
Yeah, I mean, you have to... The way you are taught by your parents in their house when you're growing up is typically how you're going to act when you grow up, unless you decide to break the cycle of hate. That's the only way to break it, is to break the cycle.
You know, on some level, we have come to a point where... We have come to a point, for many, where they are unwilling to simply accept everything that was their parents, their grandparents, their set ways of thinking. Mm-hmm. We've proven that that's true. But apparently we've also still able to let people fear us, you know, frighten us into doing something which at our core, we must know, is not as it should be.
Let's take a step out for a moment and a little music interlude and figure out where we're going next here. We're going to dedicate this song to the Prop 8ers of California, those who are in favor of it. Once again, we'll turn to the Kinsey Six.
Ooh.
And locked out of the Chapel of Love. Bum, bum, bum.
Spring is here and my domestic partner is too. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We'll put a sign that says just married on our Subaru. We'll say I can't because we can't say I do. At a wedding ceremony worth manure. You see, we're going to the chapel, but we cannot get married. From Vermont to Minneapolis, no, we cannot get married. Gee, I really love you, but we cannot get married. Locked out of the chapel of love. Bells may ring and the sun may shine. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The 1,000 tax breaks will never be mine, no. And when I hold you close in half the states, it's a crime. A few matrimony and love. Don't ask, don't tell an apple is you wanna get married. It's rabbinical and papal is to keep us from getting married. Gee, I really love you, but we cannot get married. Locked out of the chapel of love. Down in the Big Apple, no, we cannot get married.
married. Clearly nowhere on the map will let us legally get married. Gee, I really love you, but we still cannot get married. Locked out of the chapel of love. Whoa, 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 whoa. Until people grapple with
them holding hands together as they gaze upon the stars above, with their love bright and pure, that you'd know it is for sure. So in love, so much in love, by the shore or in a cafe, on the plains or mountains high above, looking for shooting stars, women knowing who they are. So in love, so much in love, so in love, they were in love. They'd share their wisdom of the ages with sons that they would call their own, struggling for the freedoms of all people in a crowd or standing alone. They were women loving one another, and you'd know what they were thinking of, 'cause their words rang so true as they whispered, I love you. So in love, so much in love, so in love, oh, so in love, whoa, in love, so in love. Allí van las mujeres enamoradas. So much in love, so in love, that's lesbian love, that's lesbian
I had to turn that off here because it does the intro to the next song.
Oh.
To the end of it. I was trying to find Tori Fix.
I know. I must have taken it out.
Which I hate it when you whip something out.
Yes.
That was Flirtations with Lesbian Love. Before that, Mackenzie Six with Locked Out of the Chapel of Love. We're coming up here towards the end of our show. And we may be extending, I don't know, a little bit. We'll have to see. Top of the hour comes Zydeco Pasale.
What you looking for, Chris?
Oh, I was looking for a CD, but apparently it's gone missing.
MIA?
Yep, it's MIA.
Oh. Yeah. But,
don't have it this week, sorry.
We gotta find some peppier stuff to talk about. We have to. We must. There's got to be something out there.
Go to Rotten.com, let's see what we can dig up.
Let's see here. Yeah, unfortunately, Toll the Road has really been big on stories about the with Prop 8, so he hasn't been doing his rearview mirror thing, which we usually cover. Hold on, I know a source that has a lot of
has news stories. It has news stories.
Oh, they do have news stories. Okay.
I just don't read it for the article.
You read it for the classifieds, right?
Yeah. Just don't look at the pictures. I read the articles. Hey, I'm serious. We've used them as a source before.
Here. I know.
Keith Oliver. Prop 8.
Gosh.
I know.
They've covered it a lot on here as well. Yeah, we talked about that one before. Apparently, all they've talked about here on this has also been... Oh, well. Gave me another reason to log into there. Hold on. There you go. There your mic's going.
You know, that's another interesting thing since, you know, all of this... Any changes to anything gets done in the realm of politics and governance and whatever. Somebody was making note of the fact that here, that, you know, we're about to have a movie about Harvey Milk.
Yes.
You know? And who was an openly gay, you know, politician in a time when there were none.
Really?
Yeah. None.
Oh, my God.
And yet, here we are. And here we are, all this year, we're having this fight about Prop 8, and yet the number of openly gay people serving in political councils, state, city governments across the U.S. has multiplied by the hundreds now.
You know,
we're
trying to find story ideas here, and Prop 8 is dominating the headlines.
I did know this one here. Another one in our long series of duh. Wanda Sykes has officially come out of the closet.
Really?
Duh. Finally. Wow. Wow. Comedian and actress Wanda Sykes officially came out this weekend, announcing to the estimated crowd of 1,000 gathered at Las Vegas at one of the many rallies for gay rights taking place around the country that she's gay and she legally married her wife on October 25th.
Wow.
Sykes, who divorced her husband of 7 years in 1998, has spoken out about gay rights issues many times in the past and recently participated in a campaign to fight anti-gay slurs. And has openly referred to her wife in some of her stand-up routines. When we saw her at the True Colors tour here. But she's always declined to specifically discuss her sexual orientation publicly until now.
Wow.
Yay. We don't have to stay late. I really don't talk about my sexual orientation, she told the crowd at the Las Vegas GLBT Community Center. I didn't feel I had to. I was just living my life, not necessarily in the closet, but I was living my life. Everybody that knows me personally, they know I'm gay, but that's the way people should be able to live their lives. But the passage of Prop 8, she told them, spurred her decision to officially come out. We took a huge leap forward and then got dragged 12 feet back. I felt like I was being attacked, personally attacked, and our community was attacked. Now I got to get in their face, she continued. I am proud to be a woman, I'm proud to be a black woman, and I'm proud to be gay. Wanda Sykes joins WNBA player Cheryl Swoops as one of the few high-profile black women in America who have publicly come out as lesbian or bisexual women.
Mm-hmm.
So now that makes two gay actors on Monday nights on CBS.
Ooh, hey.
And CBS has always been kind of on the conservative side, which is really ironic, you know.
Apparently, the eye's getting a little pink.
Yeah. <That's it.
laughs> so to speak.
Rachel Maddow.
Hey, Jimmy, you want to pull up one flirtation CD? Because you didn't put the CD's not in the jewel case.
Oh.
It's on
the floor.
It's going to be on the floor there in a minute.
No.
Thank you.
Yeah,
all right. It's amazing prompts people to actually finally say the words.
Yeah.
It's amazing how far.
What it takes.
What it takes. Yeah. What it takes.
like she said, it was, you know, it was an open secret, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But for her to finally say the words...
You know, the real day is when we don't have to say it, when it's just part of whoever, who anybody is, and we don't have to say it, and we don't have to worry about various rights, and we don't have to worry about somebody taking something away from us because of who we are.
Another cute commentary on it with the gay marriage issue was on the Colbert Report. He had Dan Savage.
Dan?
Not Mike Savage. Dan Savage, who does the Strange Love, or Savage Love,
uh-huh.
that you can find in the Houston Press. What if they've got it? It was an interesting thing. Yeah, hold on. Let's see if this is going to play. This was a cute one he had. Come on. And, of course, we're not playing again.
It's our luck tonight.
Well, I think I'll just have to do what I did last time. You know, when in doubt, kick it out. But Colbert, he had on and real funny lines. And it was to the point that even Stephen Colbert had trouble staying in his right-wing character.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, that.
He, if I can get it to come up here, this one line that he used. Stephen actually had to hide behind his cue cards. Behind his index cards. Because it just...
Even he couldn't keep a straight...
So to speak. He lost it on it, and it was funny.
I like when
you know it's good when the guy performing the can't keep us.
I think the most classic example of that is Christopher Walken.
Mason, there's more tragic violence tonight. The rioting continues. The battle rages on. You know what I'm talking about. The senseless. An escalating imaginary warfare between blacks and gays. It is tearing our great nation apart, or at least our great cable newsmen.
It was the black vote that voted down gay marriage. They said, you know what, gay marriage? I don't think so. You've got gay protesters. We understand that they're angry. They don't want to anger the blacks, even though the blacks didn't do what they wanted.
Black voters say no to California same-sex marriage. Will it spark a culture war with gay militants?
Oh, my goodness.
It will if I have anything to say about it. So sad. This heartbreaking but unavoidable clash... started with the passage of Proposition 8, which banned same-sex marriage in California. According to an exit poll, 70% of African Americans voted for the ban. And that is the only reason it passed. Now, sure, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints spent over $20 million supporting the gay marriage ban. But you know, folks, I don't see race. So I can only assume that Mormons are black.
With a picture of Mitt Romney.
With a figure.
The important thing is, it's blacks versus gays. Afro-homogeddon.
Oh, my God.
The gay blackalypse.
Oh, my goodness.
Get on that. Let's make this happen, folks. If you need some inspiration, black community, consider this. Doesn't it make you a little bit mad that the gay community stole disco from you? Gay community, how can you forgive the black community for stealing disco from you? Hey, I see some trouble. Hey, black guy and gay guy in my audience, settle down. I can see that you are furious, but no violence until you are on camera.
Actually, he's my friend. We came here together.
Okay, yeah. Well, I found the actual one I wanted to... that was... not the one, but this
that's
is the one with...
still his style.
Wow. That's hilarious.
That's great. This is the one with Dan Savage, hopefully I get.
Is this the one where he lost it?
Yes, this is the one there. You can go to ColbertNation.com. You got to go to the video section.
Do we have enough time left?
Even in the lock.
Hopefully. Oops. Come on.
Come on.
What a funny thing to have in a commercial for something that says, you know, observe proper etiquette in the locker room.
You mean you're not supposed to stare at the guy next to you?
Wing has a big...
Right on.
Okay. Hopefully we'll get there. One of the great things there, when we were talking about the... with trying to do the gaze against the blacks part there, he actually makes the comment about, you know, you're being held down by the black man. And Dan Savage looks at him and says, well, it's happened a couple of times, but... Here we go.
That's beautiful.
Meanwhile, the California Gestapo spent Sunday protesting the passage of Proposition 8, a constitutional amendment which bans same-sex marriage. One of the biggest protests took place at Pastor Rick Warren's Saddleback Church. Now, Warren has been one of the loudest opponents of gay marriage, which is very brave, considering Saddleback is gay code
for
something I cannot say without incurring significant fines. I only say it does not involve an actual saddle. But protesting Rick Warren doesn't make sense. Just ask Papa Bear.
Here is really the crux of this issue, ladies and gentlemen watching tonight. Why were they outside Warren's church? It was the black vote that voted down gay marriage. Why weren't they in front of the black vote?
Yes. There wasn't one protester outside of the First National Church of Black. All Rick Warren did, all Pastor Warren did was endorse the ban.
I guess we're going to have to wait until the next show here to play the poll there. It took a little longer to download than I thought there. But you've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Good night, kids.
Be back next week.
Bye. Good night.
PSA time. It's coming up at the top of the hour. Zydeco Fasale.
John John's here.
On November 2nd, Ben Paco Jennings, best known as DJ Melodic on KPFT's Solar Grooves, suffered cardiac arrest for still undetermined reasons and is now at St. Luke's Hospital in Houston. Paco is a beloved member of the KPFT community, and friends have organized an event to offset medical expenses and to support Paco's family during this difficult time. There will be a benefit for Solar Grooves DJ Melodic on Sunday, November 16th at Block 21, located at 2420 Washington Avenue from 1 to 4 p.m. Music will be provided by DJ Sun, DJ Chicken George, and Nick Cooper. Light snacks will be served. The community is invited to attend this benefit for KPFT's DJ Melodic. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
Sunday, November 16th, join the Orange Show Center for Visionary Art for the Music Maestro Eye Opener Tour, exploring the rich musical heritage of Houston. Experience the Bayou City music scene as only the Orange Show folks can bring it to you. Check out the legendary Sugar Hill Recording Studios. See and hear audio oddities at the Gulf Coast Electric.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.